work, but not in this session, probably. But we have a lot of things to talk about today, a lot of things to talk about. And the problem for this class, for me, is that there's too many options. There's too many opportunities to go this direction or that direction. And so as we come in today, I want to take a review of some of the things we talked about last night. I'm going to put this at least here, and you'll have to kind of strain to look at it. I don't know that there's any one good place to put it, so I'm going to put it here. And prayerfully, as we go ahead, you'll be able to work with us. Last night, we talked about several reasons why we're doing a class on music. Why would we deal with such a subject? Why should we deal with such a topic? And again, the problem with the wrong topic or the wrong music is manyfold. We talked about the fact that many people don't think that there's any need to evaluate music, or they don't see music as a separate entity. And we're going to deal with that on a greater depth today and show you scripturally that music in itself has a spirit and needs to be identified and worked with, whatever that spirit happens to be. There are some spiritual forces that the believer has no business participating in. There are some spiritual forces that a believer has no business participating in. And if music, in fact, has a spirit in it and behind it that operates through it, then we need to identify that there are some portions or some forms or some music that has a wrong spirit. And if that's the case, then that's what really should cause me to either accept or reject it as something that I listen to. Not necessarily just a genre, even though it may be representative of a genre of music, but rather it's the spirit behind the thing that makes the difference. And so that's what we're looking. Paul would warn the believers against another Jesus and against another gospel and against receiving another spirit. And so if there could be another gospel and there could be another Jesus and there could be another spirit, it would operate in the realm of pulling the wool over our eyes, if you will, and it would come to us in the appearance, in some segments, of that which is, quote, quote, good. All right, turn in your Bibles. I've got to deal with this then. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's just ascertain this. Paul was referring to people who were preaching the gospel here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And these people, these particular ministers, would in fact come to the body of Christ and proclaim a gospel. But what was wrong with their gospel? It was another gospel. Now, you don't always hear, let me give an example of another gospel. Another gospel might be the gospel taught by the Galatians. You know what the Galatians said? They didn't deny that Jesus was Christ. They didn't deny that Jesus was the Messiah. So on their lips, they would say, Jesus, in fact, is the Lord. He is the Messiah. But when it came to the plan of salvation and it came to the plan of redemption, they would say, yes, it's right to accept Jesus. Yes, it's right to accept all that Jesus taught. But in order to get saved, you need to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. And Paul called that another gospel. And the point that I'm making is, these men, if they're preaching another gospel, they're presenting another Jesus, and they're operating in another spirit. But what are they speaking about? They're speaking about the Bible. They're speaking about the things of God. They're speaking about Jesus. But yet, the Bible says that it's another spirit, another Jesus, and another gospel. Now, here's the point I'm trying to get across to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul says, "For I am jealous," speaking to the church at Corinth, "over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not received," or, here's another option, "if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received," or another gospel. So a believer could receive a different gospel, a different spirit, or another Jesus, all from somebody who proclaims to be in relationship with Jesus, or who proclaims a different way to a relationship with Jesus. Follow the thought? Or is everybody with me so far? Now, Paul warns that these do not come as ministers of darkness, inviting you simply to embrace darkness and Satan. But look at verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They're not leaving Jesus out of the equation. They're not talking about the Bible. They're not using non-biblical lyric. "But they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." So there can be, what am I saying? I'm saying that there can be those who proclaim Christ, they talk about Christ, their lyric in their song is biblical, but yet if their music is of another spirit, somebody help me, and we receive it, it causes damage to our growth spiritually and leads us into relationship with another spirit, not the Spirit of Christ. And so the body of Christ that sometimes takes great umbrage with me, and they say, well, if a person is saved, it doesn't matter what we listen to or what we embrace or what we associate with, because we're saved and it doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you that you can have somebody that's truly born again messing around with the wrong spirit, and even though they don't identify it because it's clouded with biblical terminology or supposedly biblical intent, but it's another spirit that we embrace, and when that occurs, what we're doing to ourselves is degrading our spiritual life, not increasing it. These men, these women, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, are in fact introducing us to another spirit in the realm of music, and it's happening in the world today. Now, we've tried to show last night that music is produced and encompasses several things. First of all, there is rhythm, there is harmony, and there is melody. We also said that music has a spirit behind it, and we needed to recognize that spirit. Now, in order to recognize spirits, then we need to recognize the source of spirits. And so last night we went into a history of how mankind actually produced, or how mankind actually, first of all, embraced or rejected the things of God, or where did music come from? I'll say it right in a minute. And in this capacity, I'll try to draw it out for you. In this capacity, we saw that music began in heaven with God. Music started here in relationship with God. We saw that music was used by the angelic choirs to give God praise and give God glory at the point in time of creation. So we find that music is evidence to us in heaven first, not second, first. It wasn't an afterthought. It didn't appear into creation or in the realm of creation after God created human beings. He didn't create man and then say, oh yeah, I think I'll add music. Music had a purpose in heaven first. Secondly, we tied into, after seeing that music was in fact there, after tying into it, we saw that music, in fact, was also tied into Lucifer. Lucifer, who is Satan. And we went through the scriptures last night that indicated that he was, in fact, the first choir director of heaven. Now, when he fell, he began to utilize every tool at his disposal to destroy the creations of God. Which means that Satan, in fact, can produce or bring into the realm of humanity music that will cause him to be worshipped, him to be desired, and him to be the focus and object of worship. And we call that satanic music. We gave music three terms: satanic music, which is of Satan, by Satan, and for Satan. We talked about music that's of man, that's of man, by man, and for man. And we talked of music that's of God. And we saw that that's of God, by God, and for God. And we saw that at the fall of man, man was reduced from relationship with God here on this plane down to the plane that we're going to call the plane of the world. And we tried to introduce to you then the idea, and we'll continue to do that today, that men utilized music, introduced music, but it wasn't for the original purpose that God had intended music to be used for. They began to utilize it to bring worship and condolence and community to one another in society. And we saw that in the Bible, in the history of the Bible, that we saw man using man's music that surfaced, not for the purpose that God originally intended it for. The original purpose of music in the mind of God was to glorify and worship God and to edify the believer or edify the worshiper. God says that He dwells or inhabits the praises of His people, which means that He always has intended to be in the midst of the praise, and wherever God is, there's comfort. Wherever God is, there's strength. Wherever God is, there's direction. Wherever God is, there's correction. Somebody help me here. And so when you worship and praise God, then what occurs is your spirit is going to be edified by His presence. And that's music that is of God, by God, and for God. Satan, then, the earmark of satanic music, will in fact bring an outright worship of Satan or cause rebellion in the spirit to take place. But oftentimes, before we get to the satanic music or we embrace satanic music, we are desensitized by the world's music. Desensitization takes place. What is that? That's a term that indicates in a pan and slowly heated up. He'll stay there until he's scalded to death. Desensitization causes us to be acquainted with things that are worldly and prepares us for things that are satanic. So where men are in fact in charge of a thing, in the world system, we're talking about spiritual laws now, spiritual truths. If we are to be a part of the world system, if we stay remaining locked into the world system, we'll become desensitized to the purity of God and we'll be prepared for the influence of satanic spirits and influence. Are you following me? Now, man, we talked about this last night, man is in fact evil and operating in rebellion because God has offered a plan of redemption. He's offered this plan of redemption, and it's through the cross of Calvary that man is brought back up to the level of relationship with God. So everything that is here in the world and produced by the world, we're instructed to leave. Why? Because if we keep embracing that which is produced of man, by man, for man, which is another spirit, it's a spirit of self-sufficiency. It's a spirit of independence from God. It's a spirit of, I'm okay, you're okay. It's a spirit of, I can even talk about God as long as I don't have to go through the cross to have a relationship with God. Somebody help me. Which is predominant in the world today. Anything produced by man in the level of the world, unredeemed man, on the level of the world, is something that entices other men to stay here in this system. And we talked about last night Jubal, who was the father of the music in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. And we said that God created him with the abilities and the talents to produce music. He was the first musician of society. And we said, well, why didn't God find somebody that was holy and perfect to bring music through? There wasn't one. But Jubal, who is the grandson of Cain, had the same opportunity to enter into relationship with God as anybody else did. And when if he was to enter into that relationship, then he also had the responsibility to lay aside all of his own purposes and his own talents and his own reasons for existing and embrace fully the plan of God and his reason for their existence. Because when we come to Christ, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Somebody help me. We are not our own. We are not our own. We are not our own. That means if God says we lay this aside, we lay it down, then it's time to lay it down. The sad part about it is we're getting believers saved, they're involved with worldly music, and now we're saying you can just stay there. It's like telling me as a bartender, I was a bartender when I was 19 and did so for several years. If I got saved, that I should just stay in the bar. I can be a witness as I serve people drinks. Spirits and spirits. Why are you laughing at me? Why can't I? Sounds good to brother. We need to talk, brother. Why would I say that that's not good? Because the spirit of alcohol and the spirit of drunkenness and revelry doesn't abide well with the spirit of Christ. Two different spirits. And in fact, the spirit of revelry and drunkenness is a spirit that will encourage the believer to stay down here on the level of separation from God. It encourages us to stay here. Now, music of society, or the music of the world, was produced of man, by man, and for man. And the evil of that music is that it seduces us as believers and desensitizes us to the things of God and encourages us to move forward into the things that are anti-God. So music that is produced by the world, of man, by man, and for man, unredeemed men, have produced music for their own purposes. As we talked about last night, then unredeemed men want you to worship them. They're your stars, your idols, idol search, star search. What's the new one they have out? American Idol. And then they had the star search, and they had all. What are they looking for? They're looking for somebody that they can worship, someone that they can exalt. And if I'm hurting or I'm lonely, or I've had a bad day, my star, my idol, can make me feel better. Whether it's Alice Cooper or Wayne Newton. Here we go again, she said. Or whoever it may happen to be. Because we're looking to man. Man, through the emotional touch of music, has become the substitute of God for unredeemed man. The posters on the walls of the kids' room testify to the status we place stars into. And this would go for movie stars as well as music stars. All of these things encase us within the world system, and they are emotional draws, drawing us to the things that are not necessarily of God, by God, and for God, but rather of man, by man, and for man, and of Satan, by Satan, and for Satan. We might not be here on this realm ready to accept of Satan, by Satan, for Satan, but if you stay in the world long enough and encounter that spirit that's of men, long enough, it'll prepare you for the spirit of Satan. You got to understand desensitization. We're talking about desensitization in this process of music. And the process of music, let me use television as an example. In the last 10 years, something we can all equate with. 10 years ago, the things we're now seeing and hearing on television would not have been allowed. What has happened? Desensitization has taken place where we have accepted those things that God never intended for us to accept, and now being inundated with that which is evil and that which is wrong, that which is of man, by man, and for man, of man, etc., 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 we have been made ready for the things that are of Satan. Because when it comes out of the heart of unredeemed man, the spirit of it is that which is anti-God. Listen to me. The spirit of it is that which is anti-God. And I don't care if it talks about God, if it talks about Jesus, if it talks about church, if it talks about some biblical truth, the devil doesn't come looking like the devil. He comes as a minister of light, and the reason he pulls us into his deceptive web is that he uses terminologies that we'll accept. The devil doesn't come to the born-again Christian and say, "Hey, brother, I'm the devil, and you need to come worship me." He comes to you and he says, "Hey, brother, I'm a Christian too. Look what you can do. Look what you..." See, the Bible, and we'll get more and more into this, the Bible demands separation from everything in that system. Are you following me? The Bible demands... I can prove it to you if you want, and we will... The Bible demands that you move away from everything in this system. If you have a love for this system, you don't have a love for God. Thus, a love for this system is encouraging you not to give God your whole heart. It's trying to, if you will, live with one foot in the world and one foot in that which is of God. Now, I'm giving you spiritual principles here. I'm giving you spiritual truths here that are constant in everything. Are you following me? Therefore, they also work in music. They're still spiritual truths. They're still spiritual... just right here, please. They're still spiritual truths. And so we must recognize that the same conditions for leaving other things in society must also be applied to those things in the world of any source, of any beings. Yes.
Lauren, I wasn't here last night, so maybe I just want to get refreshed on this. I just recently came from a youth rally a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And they had hundreds and hundreds of youth. That was the first time I've ever experienced anything that extend as far as kids, hundreds and hundreds of kids doing, you know. So the music came up, of course, common. And when you say separate yourself, well, this is the first time I've seen the rappers put in you know, they're talking Christ and Jesus and everything else. And the kids loved it. I personally didn't understand really what they were really. I would hear the name Jesus and Christ and to the cross and but other stuff. I couldn't really understand it. Can you give me some insight on that? What is your opinion?
I'm not gonna jump right into the center of that conversation.
Right.
We'll get into that a little bit later. But here's the thing that I'm going to ask you: what was the spirit of the presentation? What did you sense? What did you evaluate? Did you sense the Spirit of God moving?
Me personally,
yeah.
No.
That's what I'm asking.
I see a lot of activity.
Okay, stop. You saw a lot of activity.
Right.
One of the things that we introduced this whole topic with last night was we need to know the difference between emotionalism and that which makes us tap our foot and do this, and that which is the Spirit of God. You know, before I had any inkling of the Spirit of God, I spent a lot of time in bars and discos.
Right.
And I had a lot of movement. There was a lot of activity. But large crowds, movement, and activity could be a bar, not necessarily a church. So we have to identify the spirit behind the thing. Because if we say that large is good and more is better, then we should embrace everything that's wrong just because it's big or because everybody accepts it. And what I'm trying to do is lay out the groundwork by which you yourself can evaluate what you listen to or what you reject. Not necessarily to condone or accept or reject any one certain style or genre of music. I think personally there are genres of music active in the world today that come specifically from the spirit of Satan. I think they're active in the world today. So there are genres I feel that fit that. And you can look at them and see what the fruit of this product is in our society. Then you'll see the spirit behind the thing. And so those I would totally reject. But others are not quite as easily seen.
And you're right. And their response was, we need, and this is the inner city, okay? This is not your typical, it's inner city youth that are, you know, it's a situation that there's a lot of kids there that come from the inner city that it's a different, and so their response to me was, we need to be able to get to them.
Right. So preaching,
that's what they said.
Let me just throw this out. So preaching the Bible is no longer effective, and the Holy Spirit moving as people preach is no longer an effective route of evangelism. We'll get into that tonight. It's no longer an effective. In fact, the Holy Spirit moving under the sound of an anointed preacher telling men and women that they're lost and separated from God and need to get saved is no longer valid for inner city young folk. It's no longer valid for the person that's lost in the jungles, or the person in Middle Asia, or the person in Central North America. It's no longer valid. In fact, we need to mess with their heads and look just like them to win them to this level. That's never what Jesus did. Jesus went to them, but He didn't offer them what they already had. He offered them what they didn't have. Watch me. He didn't come to them and say, gee, I understand that this is how you live, so I'm going to be just like you and fool you into accepting me. He came to them in the center of them and said, you have heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, it's not good enough to stop there. You've got to know how that you're going to have to come up to my level. You're going to have to come up to where you're going to have to leave behind the old, and you're going to have to embrace the new. He didn't entice them with oldness. He enticed them with newness. And the children of Israel heard Him speak, and they said, never man spake like this man. Woo! He's speaking with authority. He's not telling us stay where you are. He's saying what you're doing is a wrong. You need to leave that and come up with me. Here's Jesus' message of evangelism. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Since when did God change the message? If you don't believe, if you walk in rank unbelief to what the Bible says is God's plan for evangelism, you might swallow that. However, there's a whole other motivation behind the individuals involved in that now, and it's not, in the most part, evangelism. We swallowed that 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now it's got dollar signs behind it. And money controls most of it. Not every person, but most of it. And I'll prove it to you through the processes of those who promote that through a video here in just a few minutes. But one of the things, listen to this. Let's just think about this now. We're going to use the world's methods to win the lost. We're talking about, now don't lose track here. Don't lose sight. I mean, there's so much stuff. I just got to kind of feel my way through this with you because there's so much I want to bring to you. And I've got so much mapped out and I'm nowhere even near where I mapped it out. But we're on track. The world system, think of this, now think of this, the spirit of that which is produced by the world here. I'm going to give you some thoughts on this. Everything that man produces here, it's evil because it's a, like Jubal of old and other societies of old, it attempts to live here on this level and say that life here is good enough. And this is what life is all about, living on this level. This is all there is. This is as good as it gets. I'm okay, you're okay. How many people in Delphus, Ohio, or surrounding areas really believe that right now they're lost, separated from God, not in relationship with Him, and that there's a whole other level of life that's available? Most of them believe that it's all right here. The guy with the most toys wins. Hello? Let's look at some of the ideas. If we say that evangelism or winning the lost can be done by utilizing the spirit of that which the world produces, let's take a look at some of the views of the world. First of all, they're in total rebellion and separated from God, even if they talk about Him, because they haven't accepted the only way to relationship with Him. How do you determine whether something is of God or not? Well, this system is really, the evil is that it's a life without God. There could be good moral people. They pay their taxes. They go to work. You know, they may or may not go to church on Sunday, but they believe something. They mow their lawns, they put their kids through school, they pay their taxes, they're a good member of society. But they are in rebellion against God because they have rejected, if they've heard, that God, in fact, wants to save them. The idea that they need to be saved is foolishness to them. And that whole spirit ignores God's existence. They don't need God. They might talk about Him occasionally, but don't let that fool you. They attack God's existence, or they create their own version of God. And this is probably, in our day and age, the most popular thing that the world system is doing. It's creating their own version of God. Men who have supposedly preached the gospel all of their lives now saying Hindus are going to be saved, Muslims are going to be saved by believing what they are already believing. Billy Graham was recorded as saying that very thing when an interview with Robert Schuller not less than 2 years ago. Billy Graham, America's evangelist, saying, "I believe that Muslims will make it to heaven." How in the world are we going to, with that kind of people saying those kind of things, no wonder the world says, "Well, I'm okay, you're okay, every spoke leads to the center of the wheel." How in the world are we ever going to have somebody that says, "No, we're lost, separated from God, and you have to accept Christ and Him crucified to come into relationship with God"? You're going to have to do that, ladies and gentlemen. But the popular thing today is to make your own version of God. You know what that does? That means you can talk about God as much as you want to and live any way you want to, because as long as you talk about God, you're religious. And anyway, I don't care what you believe. If I talk about Jesus just a little bit, then it's sufficient. That's all I need. And this is what the world thrives on. Do you have a CD player hooked up on there? All right. I want you to hook something up for me real quick. Number 11. I don't have mine, but yours will actually do better. Number 11, don't play it until I'm ready, okay? Number 11. When we hear this talk about Jesus or God, immediately we think, hey, everything is great, everything's wonderful. If they're talking about Jesus or they're talking about God, everything is okay. But the problem is, it's the world creating their own version of God. Mom, God, and hot apple pie. All right. How many people since 9/11 have put "In God we trust," or "Let's pray to God" on the outside of their businesses, but they don't know God from Adam's off ox? They've made their own version of who God is. And if we just mention Him a little bit, or we hear the name God mentioned, or we hear the word Jesus used, well, they must be a Christian. Go ahead and play that. But I'm a good person. I do the right thing. I have my addictions. I have my problems. I have my troubles. But I try to love Jesus, and I try to love myself. One of country's biggest stars today, Faith Hill. She's singing about loving Jesus and herself. She's singing about, you're okay, I'm okay. I know I've got problems, but you know what? I'm okay, you're okay. She's presenting to you in a message her own version of God. And I'm not trying to demean Faith Hill. I don't know her from Adam. Somebody had given me the CD and I started listening to it and listening going through it, and that caught my eye, because those are the types of things, if you listen to worldly music, that you're going to hear, especially in country music. And by the way, that was country music. Country music. See, it's a little different than the twangy Hank Williams thing. I'd have problems separating it from pop or early rock and roll, to be honest with you. But this is the message that's in the music of society. We're okay. And if we mention Jesus, well, we just put a stripe of American approval, but we're not here in relationship with Him, but we've mentioned Him. Somebody help me in here. This is society. I'm okay. You're okay. Sure, I have my troubles. I have my addictions. Sure, I have my selfish fits. But I'm not going to change, and I don't need to change. I'm okay. You're okay. I love myself. I love Jesus. What are they doing? They've brought out their own version of God. And they're preaching it in the message. Presenting it and reinforcing to every other human being that exists that it's okay to have addictions. It's okay if you have idiosyncrasies and ideologies that aren't the same. And I don't know what you believe, but let's just all get along and see what we can do and love one another. They've created their own version of God. God is just love. That's an incomplete version of the biblical view of God. Sure, God is love. But He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, not whosoever remaineth, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. That means everybody on this level who talks about God and encourages one another to stay in that system will die lost, separated from God. And there is a spiritual force behind what you just heard that appeals to humanity, telling us how good we are, and music is one of the major forces that keep men in that stratosphere. Because when you're hurting, you go cry in your beard and put on a song in the jukebox. Oh, she left me again. Or bebop, doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-woop, or whatever it is that makes you feel better. And you encourage one another through gifts that are supposed to be utilized to glorify God for your own purpose and for your own aggrandizement. We talked about it yesterday. Every purpose. Now let me keep going here. This system of life without God ignores God's existence, attacks God's existence, creates their own version of God, and demands that everyone else accept their definition of God. You have to be religiously correct. Tolerance is the word of the hour. Don't bring people. It's wrong, Baptist, to go out and try to bring Catholics into the kingdom. How dare you? It's an issue in the front paper. I don't care if they're in a Pentecostal church or if in a Catholic church. If they're lost, you need to get them into the kingdom. Yeah, you need to proselyte. Yeah, you need to, but you need to do it in the right way. And there's only one thing that'll draw somebody out of the world, and that's the Spirit of Jesus, not the spirit of darkness that encourages men to stay in the world. It's a different spirit. Anybody down in this system will hate those who truly preach this system of level up here with God through Christ and Him crucified. If you say that's If you say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, the world will reject you. If the world isn't rejecting you, you're of the same spirit. Why then do you want to use the same material and the same spirit of the world? It won't bring people here. It'll just keep them here in their own version of God. Because it's a different spirit. We'll be hated because we expose their rebellion. The world voices its opinion, its belief system, through television, movies, and music. It's the voice of the world running into your spirit. Movies, music, television. Don't you recognize the spirit of it? When you turn on television now and we have two men kissing on public television that my five-year-old can watch. Bad enough that we have imitation scenes of men and women making love, but now we have imitation scenes of men making love on our television screens. The messages are being preached to you. And it's of a spirit that keeps you here. Nothing in this system can lead you to relationship with God. Nothing. Nothing developed of man, by man, and for man can lead you into a relationship with God. You need to understand that there is a spirit behind music, and you need to recognize it. There's a spiritual force, spiritual truths in effect behind music. When I got saved, God didn't knock on my heart's door and said, gee, Lauren, what kind of music do you like? I was in Nashville attempting to be a singer-songwriter when I lost my hand in a textile factory accident. Guitar player, piano player, songwriter, singer, frontman for a band. Well, it gets kind of hard all of a sudden when you lose five fingers. Hello? And I'm trying to figure out, you know, what to do and how to do it and how to go about it. And I don't find, in fact, I went further and further away from God for a year and a half after that accident. But the night that I got saved, God didn't show me or trick me into a relationship with Him. He plainly showed me that I was where I was because even though He had offered me relationship, even though I had my own version of God, even though I knew a little bit about God and the things of the Bible, I had never really entered by faith into relationship with Him through what He offered me. And I was in the shape that I was in because my fist was in God's face saying, I'm good enough, I'll live the way that I want. God didn't knock on my door and say, gee, Lauren, what can I say to entice you? He said, Lauren, you're the mess that you are because you're rebellious and sinful and separated from me, and you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I said yes to Him, and everything began to change. And that never changed. You can't ease the prostitute out of prostitution. You can't ease the drunk out of the bottle. You can't ease the vices out of humanity little by little. It's sin. It has to be addressed as sin and has to be taken to the cross so we can find victory from it. So why do we want to utilize the tool of worldly music that encourages sin and say it's a tool to bring people into the kingdom? Ding, 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 ding. What's wrong with this picture? We don't recognize the spirit of a thing. And so when we look at music, we have to recognize that we're dealing with a spiritual force and that God brought music into the world through unredeemed men, but when He redeems someone, He expects them now to take on His purpose for their life, which means they're going to have to release this, whatever it is, get to know Him, go into relationship with Him, and then, if He so chooses, to utilize their gifts and their purposes and their functions for His purpose in the church. Boy, I just said a mouthful. I don't know if you got it all. But if a man or woman is born to be a musician, I don't know her. I'm just picking her. I mean, I don't know anything about her. So what I'm saying is not personal. But if Faith Hill is not saved, and she gets saved and born again tomorrow, she's going to have to leave all of this, lay it down, and say, God, what do You want me to do with my life? And if God tells her, I want You to lead praise and worship in a church of 25, then that's success. If she doesn't. Oh, but what a waste. Come on, folks. We think too much like they do. We think too much like the world thinks. Wouldn't it have been great if so-and-so would have got saved? How many quote-quote stars have we seen in the last decade that seemingly have made some kind of relationship with Christ, and yet they're still singing the same old songs, and they're just adding their religious repertoire to it? One of my favorite singers, and the man can sing the stars out of the heavens. Him and his brothers, Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin brothers. I don't know if you ever heard any or even know him. But man can sing the stars out of the heavens. I mean, a voice and a harmony. Incidentally, they grew up singing in a Pentecostal church. But as I got saved, and God began to deal with me on leaving behind what I had once embraced and been a part of, I began to notice that there were some messages in music that I couldn't embrace and that I couldn't mix and match. And Larry Gatlin was one of my favorite singers. Did a lot of his songs in the bands that I had, and I just loved his voice. I loved the sound of the music that he produced. And he proclaims again, and I don't know him personally, so this is not personal, but I'm just talking about the messages and the spirit of the world. He can get up and sing Amazing Grace with Bill Gaither, and yet on one of his albums he wrote a song that talks about, will there be Mogan David in heaven? Mogan David is the wine of us old ex-winos. When nothing else could get us high, MD 2020 for $2.10 could get you stoned out of your gourd and puking drunk, and you'd have a great old time. And the drunk on the streets he wrote about says, will there be Mogan David in heaven? If there is, I sure want to know. Will there be Mogan David in heaven? If not, who the hell wants to go? Now you tell me how a Christian, and don't get mad at me, I didn't just cuss, I just told you the names of the song, what he said in the song. How can a Christian or someone who's been born again, who understands anything about relationship with God, sing Amazing Grace on Sunday and Saturday night be down in one of the big clubs in Nashville and sing that song on a stool with his guitar. Somebody help me here. How do we think we can remain in this system, proclaiming its opposition to God's existence, proclaiming that mankind in and of themselves are good, proclaiming our own version of God, encouraging people to believe that, and yet say we're up here walking with God on Sunday morning? If your preacher is in the bar drinking, carousing, and listening to that on Saturday night and preaching to you on Sunday morning, might I suggest to you, find another church. If that's what you think is Christ-like behavior, might I suggest a return to an old-fashioned altar and a soul-searching look at what is in your heart and what you desire? And the term repentance stands out very large, looming before my eyes. I don't mean to be funny. I'm very, very serious. Why then do we take a musician who in the plan of God has been given the most powerful tool other than the preacher at his or her disposal and was taught by Scripture to utilize it in the local congregation? I'll prove that to you as we go. To stand out there and to become a star so that men can worship me, and then to send two messages through my life and my... You can't tell me that what you sing is not your message. Come on, somebody, help me in here. Don't tell me you don't preach. The world believes in preaching. And why will they accept that message? Will there be Mogan David in heaven? But they... When I stand up on a street corner and say, you need to accept Christ and Him crucified, I'm ridiculed as the one who's damning society. But if I can have both this and a mention of God in my conversations, I'm widely accepted. Would somebody please start thinking about the spirit that has to be involved in that process? There's no mixing and matching in the plan of God. So you've got to realize that. All right. Does everybody start to understand the spirit of the world and the spirit that's in the world's music? Are you following me? Okay.
I'm a little bit... I'm thinking a couple of different things. Now, when you said material, to me, music's so deceiving. It's hard. Are you also saying from the music itself without the words? And also...
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about at this point.
It's just the words.
No. Just the music. Music is a force all of itself. Music is a force in and of itself. Now, when you combine lyric with it, the whole spirit of the thing takes form. And it becomes visible as to the direction you're heading. But music in itself has a spirit to it and in it. Now, the thing we have to be careful about is that if I'm going to play a song, if I'm just going to say, give me some volume. There's a spirit in music that's not necessarily associated with words. And it ties into the intent of the heart of the one who plays it and the music itself and its original purpose. It's all together. We said that when you evaluate music, You have to evaluate the music, the message, and the man, all three. Any one by itself is incomplete. Because there's a spirit in the music, there's a spirit behind the message, and there's a spirit behind the man. There's a spirit in the music, there's a spirit behind the man, there's a spirit behind the message. And what we've got to do is evaluate all three towards this, towards the things of the world. If I am compromising biblical truth, if I am sending a double message, then I'm headed the wrong direction. And I've asked you to evaluate music, man, and message, not just by one song, but by the totality of what's happening and the direction of an individual or a group. Are you following me? And all I'm talking about now is this: the spirit of the world being dominant in a group or in a singer is in fact going to destroy the good that could be done, even if they're a Christian. Because it's impure. And we should see a group, a singer, or musicians moving away from this and more towards that which is the Spirit of God. You should sense more and more of the Spirit of God in a band or in a group as their next CD comes out, not less and less. Their message should become more clear, not less clear and cloudy. Their appearance sends a message. How they act sends a message. What they say sends a message. You do in your own life. Come on, folks, don't look at me like this is so strange. Your own life, how you dress, where you go, what you say sends a message. The world, told you last night, belly buttons, boobs, and bunions. That's what they're all about. Go to the mall, you'll understand it. Look at the pictures. Belly buttons, boobs, and bunions. That sends a message. Thank you very much. I'm glad you approve. Yeah. So what we want to do is move away from... Doesn't mean you can't be stylish. Doesn't mean that you can't be appropriate, comfortable. But it means that I'm not trying to send that message by associating myself with everything that they do. They don't dominate me. The Holy Spirit dominates me, and that's why I dress the way I dress, go where I go, and say the things that I say. This, we're just talking about the spiritual force of the world. Now, I got to move along here. Let me give you some thoughts here before we take a break. Oh, boy. Music. Well, let me address this. Boy, I don't know. Let me address this. Let me show you what should be happening in the life of a musician. I'll just say this and preface it because I'm moving past some things I was planning on teaching. We saw last night in the beginnings, in the first 2 hours of this teaching, that God introduced music through human beings that were fallen. There was no other choice. And we saw in Genesis, the entirety of it, the only reference to Genesis or to music as society developed was evil. Genesis 4:21, and then also in Job chapter, somebody help me with it, I had it down here. It was Genesis 37. Hang on just 1 second, let me write it down. Job 21:7-12, and Genesis 31:27, we see that God allowed the gifts that He had originally planted in men to surface, but men used it for their own abilities. And that's all we see about music up to the point that God uses Israel as an example to the world as to what He expects men to be like. Do you understand that Israel was God's people raised up to reveal God, who He was, how He thought, and what he demanded of men to the world. Are you following that thought? So Israel was raised up to bring about an example to the world of who God is, who God was, how men and women were to have a relationship with Him, and what happened after you came into relationship with Him. So music could not be exhibited in a corporate sense until after Israel was established as the head of all nations, which they were as they came out of Egypt. Now that's a mouthful. Did you follow all that thought? God raises up one group of people to reveal Himself through to the rest of us. Those are the Jewish, that was the Jewish nation. He raises up Abraham. From Abraham, He raises up the patriarchs. The patriarchs go down into Egypt. And then after 420 years or 400 years, they're brought out of Egypt and in fact brought into relationship with God, where they encounter a covenant with God. And now, after the blood on the doorpost, which represents the slain lamb, the Lamb of Calvary, if you will, they pass through the Red Sea and they park at Sinai for a year God teaches them about worship. They go from Egypt, cross the Red Sea, they're saved, and in Exodus 15, we see the first example of godly music being brought through fallen man. So we might as well go there, seeing how it's the first example. Exodus 15. And what do we find? We find music in the sense of tambourines. We find dancing. And we find lyric. Exodus 15. Everything prior to this in the Scripture spoken of about music, whether it was in Job or whether it was in Genesis, spoke of music's existence, but spoke of it in the sense of society which was evil. Now, when God raises up Israel, He finally begins to exhibit what music was supposed to be used for, and here it is. Look at Exodus 15. Are you there? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Now you can read that whole text and you'll find out what music ought to say. It ought to glorify and give God praise for who He is and what He's done. Now we see God's redeemed people exampling for the first time in a corporate sense the way God wants the world to worship Him. And you have to understand that the Spirit that was on the children of Israel after they crossed over the Red Sea was a different spirit than the spirit that was operating in the musicians of Egypt. Can somebody say amen? Because this spirit caused them to dance. Boy, I'd like to stay here for a week or two. Some of you need to get up and dance for God. You need to learn.
Not just women, men.
And it wasn't the choreographed dancing that Pastor Ardeth was doing last night, or Sister Jeanette, or Boots. I had them all dancing here last night. It was just quick. We just never mind. You should have been here. But in any capacity, this is. I didn't mention your Boots, so it wasn't on tape. Yeah, okay. Oops. Dancing is not like, and I don't have time to do this because it's all part of worship, but the Hebrew dance was totally different than anything else that ever existed. It was never choreographed. And it was never men with women. You have to understand that when Israel did anything, it was an expression of love to God. So when they danced and they sang, they weren't leaving God out of it. You have to understand that Israel didn't have a secular existence. Everything they did surrounded the things of God. So their dancing was in fact dancing unto the Lord. When they had marriages, they danced unto the Lord for the goodness of God in perpetrating the nation of Israel, and the seed of the woman would come. And it was a dance of praise for the promises of Genesis 3 and 15. When they had wedding feasts, they gave praise to God because the family would continue. And they would give... See, what I'm saying is they didn't have a secular side. They didn't split. Oh, well, this is secular and this... Everything was as unto God in the children of Israel's life because God was revealing Himself to the world through them. It was not by accident that when God set up the camp, He put them in the center. He put the tabernacle that took a year to build in the center, and everybody else was camped around it. Meaning that God was the center of everything they did. God was the center of their school. God was the center of their life. God was the center of everything that they did. And so music was not secular to them. Music was in fact involved the giving of praise and worship to God. And it's example, first of all, there. As Israel continues to grow, we see something interesting in the truth. We oftentimes say that, well, if we're Christians, if we're born-again people, then it doesn't... You know, we sanctify the music we play. Because we're Christians... We sanctify the music. Our being right with God sanctifies the music. Well, if that's biblical truth, then no Hebrew would ever participate in music that was causing worship towards another item. But might I remind you that even while they were first camped at Sinai, even before they got the instructions from Moses, the same people that danced and praised God at the Red Sea used music to worship a golden calf. Now, don't tell me that because they were the chosen of God, that they sanctified the spirit that was behind the music to worship the golden calf too. Just because you're saved, you can't play anything and deal with anything that is spiritual without being affected. The Bible says that they ate and they rose up to fornicate as a result of this music and worship of an idol. And it was the same people just a few weeks before who were playing the music at the Red Sea. What am I saying? I'm saying that God's people don't sanctify the spirit of the music just because they're God's people. The spirit of the music will destroy God's people and lead them into idol worship and fornication. Now, I just went through that real quick. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? All right, I got about... Oh, I need to give you a break. I saw some of you yawning and you're stretching. But as the music, and again, I'm moving through things that usually give 15 weeks to do this. So we see God exampling the children, through the children of Israel, music at the Red Sea. For the first time, a body of believers are exhibiting God's purpose for music, and that music was of God, by God, and for God, totally separate from the things of the world. A few weeks later, they slipped back. God did not condone it. In fact, it brought about a definite change as to who would in fact be used by God and who wouldn't. Up to that point at the calf, at the golden calf, the firstborn of every family operated as the priest and was in fact separated unto God and was to be a part of the worship scheme. But after the music was displayed, which led them away from God, after that exhibition of worship to the golden calf, God utilized only those who refused to enter into that music and that worship, which was the Levites. And He said, no longer will the firstborn be who I use to deal with the things of my temple. From now on, I'll use the Levites who went out and stopped the rebellion and were faithful to God in the time of the golden calf. Are you watching what I'm saying? So, in fact, it brought about a change in the order of worship, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But as Israel progressed and as Israel became a nation and Israel experienced their first king, God would raise up in their first king a musician of which there has never been another, David. And He would example to us the attributes of a musician of God that we're going to look at when we come back from break. So Israel examples to us the process of revealing, of God revealing Himself to us in all ways, but also includes music. And when we come back, we want to take a look at David, his attributes, the power of music in his life, and we want to take a look at how God set aside specific people to be the worship leaders in corporate worship in the temple. Because that was where corporate worship in God was designed. And you'll find that musicians didn't exist outside of the temple for God's purposes. They existed in the confines of God's temple for His purpose. And we'll talk about that when you come back from break. We love you. Let's take about 20 minutes, maybe 25 or 20 minutes or so. Stretch, get something to eat.